Come before your precious Son of grace. Father, we just got eyes on you. You are God. And all that that entails. We just praise you for loving us enough to send your precious Son to die on that cross for us. Oh, Father, we praise you for that. We thank you. Father, we come to this time of offering. Father, we can offer our money. Father, we need to offer our tithes. We need to offer our strengths. We need to offer our bodies. We need to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Almighty God and stand back and watch you work. Father, we praise you for that. We thank you. Father, we praise you so holy. In wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Maybe see you.
Okay, we're going to try a little experiment this morning. I'm going to take up a couple of my minutes here. How many of you know the old children's song, Clap Your Hands, All You People? Do any of you know that? Okay, we're going to try that. And let's start it out so we can get people to see if they can get it. It's real simple. It's clap your hands, all you people.
Clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of praise. Hosanna, Hosanna, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Praise Him, praise Him, shout unto God with a voice of praise.
Okay, I just want to hear the men do it right now, okay?
Clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of praise. Hosanna, Hosanna, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Praise Him, shout unto God with a voice of praise.
Okay, women, Shirley, sing out.
Karen does.
Where are all the women? Okay, men are going to start out. No, the women are going to start out, and the men are going to come in. And where do I come in at? Hosanna?
You should start first.
Oh, okay. We're going to do a round. Do you remember what a round is? When we come before God, we are supposed to be worshiping God, okay? How many of you used to sit around campfires and sing songs? Any of you? I did. It isn't something you do nowadays because it's not cool. But it is for some people. But I used to enjoy this. I was in a church camp, and I enjoyed these songs. And you do a round. I'm not going to make you do the round today. But that's something that you can do, and you can do the round, and you can enjoy yourself at home. And that's Psalm 42:1, okay? This is how you can learn your scriptures. And you'll be surprised when these songs come back to you. Thank you, guys.
Yep.
You know what? Part that isn't turned on yet? Okay. I usually talk loud enough everyone can hear me anyhow. Can you hear me now? Okay. I even sing louder than I talk, so, and that's pretty bad. Oh. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 first. And it says, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you need of him before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, I pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive you." And then I'm going to skip over to Matthew find it here real quick. And I lost my place. Hold on a second. Sorry about that. I had it marked. Okay, Matthew 17:20. "So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." I was in Kroger's the other day. I ran in to get some groceries, and I usually stop by the sales section of the meat. You know, usually they'll have it buy one, get one free or something. And sometimes we can get some pot stew or something, you know, buy one, get one free, and they'll have one for $10, $13 or something. The cheapest one they had there was a high $18. And there was a little old woman there, and she said, she was looking around, and I was trying to help her. She said, "I can't afford this. And usually I have enough money in my pocket, I can take something." All I had was like $2 that day. And I didn't think about it until later. I could have bought the stuff and then given it to her. But later on, I saw her buying cans of soup, cream of something. They were little tiny cans, and she was deciding whether to get two or three cans. She's saying, "What are we supposed to do?" You know, she's on a fixed income. And these are times when we're supposed to have faith and believe and do things for other people and believe that God's going to provide for us. But it's really hard sometimes when things are tough, when school's bad for you, when you got people that are picking on you or bullying on you. You don't know what you're going to do. So the Lord asks you to come back and the Lord's Prayer. You ought to take a look at the Lord's Prayer and kind of go through it and that we read first and just take a look at the things in there. Because there's a whole 45-minute study of that alone. But the faith part is what I'm wanting to get to you today. When you plant a seed, what happens? You put a seed in, and God's so miraculous that a lot of times if you get an apple, like we'll buy a case of Granny Smith apples at one time, and by the time we get around to the end of the case, some of the seeds have already sprouted. And it's just a glorious thing to see these sprouted seeds because you put them in the ground, and they're going to grow. This is something that God does. Just a mustard seed's just a little tiny thing. It's a little larger than pinhead, you know? It isn't that big. It isn't that big. And God says if we have that, our faith is going to be so powerful that we are going to be able to take something and turn to God and say, God, I need this mountain moved. Now, that doesn't mean that the mountain necessarily is going to move. He might provide a way to get around it for you. Or he might even transport you to the other side. He does that. He's done it in the past, and I hear he's still doing it in the future. But he's going to make a way for you to get around that mountain or through the mountain without having to dig. There are troubles in your life that you think that you are insurmountable, and God's going to provide them for you. God's going to provide for that woman that was in Kroger's. He's going to provide for Shirley and me, and he's going to provide for you. But you have to turn to him for that. You have to ask him. That's the one requirement that God asks of us, is that we ask him so that he can then in turn respond to you. Yes, he knows we need it. But there's a little rule out there that you just don't remember, and that's God says, please ask me. Please, I'm waiting to give it to you. And then all you have to do is receive it. So when you're thinking that mustard seed, just think of all the growth that goes in there. You ought to see that on YouTube now, you can watch a seed grow and how the roots spread out and everything. It's really miraculous all that God made for seeds. And the nature of the seed will become the plant that it was originally. It doesn't become something else. It becomes what God planned it to be. And Jesus says our faith in God is like a seed. When we put our faith into action, that is, when we release it to God, it takes on a totally new nature. It takes on the nature of a miracle in the making. What's the miracle in the making of your life? What is God wanting you to become? What is God wanting you to do? What's that miracle? What's that miracle that's going on in our lives? We don't think there is any. When you go out and talk to someone, you are actually providing a miracle for that person. You may pray for them, you may talk to them, you may smile at them, but you're making a change in their life. Everything that you do, everywhere that you walk, everywhere I put my feet, everywhere you put your feet, you are transporting God's territory. You are kings, princes, queens. And I can't think what the equal to prince is for female. Okay, we are royalty. We've got an entourage behind us. You can't see them right now. I wish I could. I'd be looking up there and saying, oh, wow, Lord help me. I don't know what to do with those angels. There's angels behind you. There's angels behind me. Why aren't we making use of these things? Why are we so intimidated by the world? We've been so trodden down. We've been so wrapped up in tradition. We aren't allowed to. We're supposed to sit like this in church because that's what we were taught all our lives. Look in the Old Testament. When they went to the temple every year, they were singing on the what? They weren't waiting to get there. They were already singing. They were praising God. Why? Because they were going to get to feel the glory of God there. That's what I want every time I come to church. That's what I want to be surrounding me when I go out in the world so that I can share that with other people. And I have the faith that I can do that because God said I do. All I have to do is have the faith of a mustard seed. That's very small. And a lot of times you come up with a sickness or something like that, and you'll say, man, this is too big for me. Well, turn to God. It's not too big for him. He can do it. What's the mountain in your life? Loneliness, loss of a job, disease, a wounded relationship, trouble in your home, something else. Be encouraged. Jesus shows us a way to see that mountain removed. For God says that you have that measurement of faith in Romans 12:3. He says it's within you already. You don't have to grab it. It's already within you, all of you. You already have it there. All you have to do is activate it. Second, God says that faith comes alive by hearing the Word of God. So make sure that you hear the Word of God. Read it. Listen to it. And then God says that third, you can apply your faith to see your daily needs. How? You do something as an act of your faith. You sow the mustard seed smallness of your faith into the action of the word love, Matthew 17:20. Then when your faith has been planted and is growing, speak to your mountain and watch God set about its removal. I pray that for you today. Bow your heads, please. As we go into communion today, we ask you, Lord, that touch these hearts here today. Show them that they are active, mighty people in God, that they have a reason to rejoice, that they have a reason to shout for joy. They have a reason to jump over walls. Oh, Lord, they love you, Lord, but they've been so suppressed in their minds, and they've relented to what all the pressures around them. They come in here tired from a week's worth of work or a week's worth of school, and they don't know what they're doing next. And they come in here, and it gets to be relaxation. It gets to be commonplace. Let us not come to you as a commonplace thing. Let us come to you, especially in communion as we take your sacraments, Lord, that we come knowing that you are the one that it's all about. Especially this time of year. In thy precious name of Jesus. Amen. As they pass out the sacraments, if you'd wait until we all take the bread together and then take the wine together or grape juice. For those of you who may not know, the bread was usually mater bread, non-yeast, and it was a real flat bread, and they scorched it. And the scorches were supposed to mean the stripes on you, on his back, that he gave for us. Thank you, sir. And that's for our healing. That's for any hurt that you've had. He took that on. He had literally had his back stripped of skin and muscle. And he had to carry the cross after that. So all the pain and torment that you go through in your life, when you take that bread today, put it at the cross and say, Lord, this bread, this is your body. You sacrificed this for me. Do this so that I can receive your blessing, healing. And when we take the grape juice, which represents the wine, his blood, that's of his salvation. That's of what he gave to us and the spirit and the life that he pours into our bodies. And I'll be going to 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.
Share you. My heart is full right now because when we have a meet and greet, usually it's, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. It was almost two songs today. It's neat to see how God's love grows in us and people actually enjoy each other. So, with that being said, my boss told me, God dismissed the children for play practice upstairs. So if you are in the play, kindergarten through sixth grade, seventh grade, whatever. And we do have a nursery, first, second door on the right, back to hallway. Speaking of the day, most of you know, have heard Ben speak before. Ben Fletcher and his family, minus Alicia, are here today, and we welcome them, and I'm looking forward to hear what God has for us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is that thing on?
Now it is.
Can you hear me now? Nope. I didn't know how to run a microphone.
I think we gotta get this on. I believe you're going.
I don't hear. Hello? Can you hear me now? There. So you guys brought a guy and don't know how to run a microphone. What were you thinking? You know, it's funny, man. I'm sorry. I'm going to digress for a second. You said the boss. I didn't hear Chris say a word, so I don't know. What was going on with that, but anyway, thank you. You guys are most gracious for having me. We appreciate that. Obviously, you guys are always in our prayers. You're on our hearts. We love you guys. And talking to the elders, they had asked me to, I actually had asked them what you want me to talk about today, because obviously, it's got to be relevant. You know, the Word of God is active. I mean, so many times in my own life, I've read something, and it's not until a later date that God comes back and reminds me of his truth. So today, they'd asked me to talk about service or servanthood, so I've entitled today's message, A Servant Disciple, and I'm going to start with a video to get us going here, and then we'll dive into the Word. So go ahead if you want to play the video. Is there a time I need to be done also? Because I don't want to make you all late for lunch. Just order pizza, hang out for the day, I'm down. You mind starting that over? I don't want to miss the first part. It's very important. Thank you. Thank you. How many times a week do you think about making disciples? How many times a week do you think about being a servant? You know, because when I hear the word servant, usually in this world it's a negative connotation. It's not something that you wake up and say, I'm going to be a servant today. You know, because the problem with being a servant is sometimes you get treated like one. And that's not really exciting for us. We think church should be this wonderful place and all these things, and it is a wonderful place, but the problem with church is there's people in it. And the mess, there's some jacked up people in the world, amen? I mean, none of them go to church here, I get that. They're down the street and everywhere else, they're your neighbors, your in-laws, I get all that stuff. Today, when I want to talk about being a servant disciple, I'm going to use Mary and Martha, and there's a reoccurring message there for all of us. And, you know, I think sometimes we go to the Word and we look for one specific thing. I can tell you God says things many different ways to many different people. The question is whether or not are we listening. So my prayer is that we're listening. So we're going to cover a little bit of Scripture. I promise when I won't even tell you how much because you're going to freak out. I mean, let's start in Luke chapter 10. And I'm going to start in verse 38, and I'll give you a second to turn there. And basically what I want to do is when we look at Mary and Martha and some of the stuff that they went through, there's three distinct groups that we're going to notice. Number one, we're going to notice the theys or the apostles, the people that are just kind of there, the bystanders. We're going to notice the Martha group, which we know who she is. We know that she's very busy. We're going to also notice the Mary group, who's been known for a lot of different things. But I want to that concept of three groups applies to the church today. Because there's the theys, the Marthas, and the Marys. So let's turn to the Word and look in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. It said, and Jesus and his disciples, there's the they group, they were on their way and they came to the village where a woman named Martha had opened up her home. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work? Please tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the better, and it will not be taken from her. Now again, the three groups today, there were people that were just there. The sponges, the ones that were wanting to get credit by association, they just want to hang out with Jesus because they got free meals. They got to see cool things. There was lots of people following them. It was kind of like that, you know, somebody gets very famous and all of a sudden they're attracted to that individual. And then you got the Martha group who is, you know, Martha, what she's doing isn't bad. All the preparations need to be made. If I said Jesus was coming to your house after church, how many people worry about the laundry on the sofa? We're the only ones with laundry on the sofa, really? We start thinking about all the things that, oh, this isn't ready, or that isn't ready, and this needs to be done, and I don't want Jesus to think about this or that. That's called distraction. And then there's Mary, who's sitting at Jesus' feet. And Martha's upset. She's like, dude, this, my sister, tell her, because if you say it, then she's got to do it. How many times do we try to tell God what to do? Too many. She said, Martha, or Jesus said, Martha, you're worried about all these things, but only one thing is important. What's that important thing in your life? Is it Jesus Christ? Is it being a servant? Is it being a disciple? Is that even on the radar? Is it all the distractions? I know what you're going to say. Well, Ben, I'm so busy. I get it. We've got three teenagers at home. We've got a daughter's getting married. I've got all the best excuses in the book. But when I see the Great Commission, it doesn't say you can do this except you overcommit, Ben. Your calendar's too busy. Or you can do this except when you don't think you have enough money or you don't think you have enough talent or you don't have enough ability. I'm pretty sure it just says go. So flip over with me to John chapter 12. We're going to carry the story a little bit farther with Mary and Martha. I'm in John chapter 12 and I'm going to start in verse 1 through 3. And this is the part you're going to freak out. We're then going to cover most of chapter 11. You guys all right? We're going to do a little scripture munching today. Is that cool? So John chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I'll wait till I stop hearing the pages. And before I get to that, I want to share a passage in 1 Timothy that I've read many times in my life. Because as you know, as a senior pastor, I was very young. I mean, you guys were crazy enough to let me serve you here for a long time. And I wasn't old. And that's not a diss, it's just in age, I wasn't that smart, I wasn't that wise. And this was a verse that I would go to many, many times in my struggles when I would look at it. And the enemy would tell me, Ben, you're not good enough. Why do you think you're good enough to be a pastor of a church? Why do you think you need to be a senior minister when you're 30-some years old? 1 Timothy chapter 4, 12. And I would encourage you get those nuggets. Get that word that you anchor your life to that when you need something, you turn to. This is what it said. Do not let them look down on you because you're young. That's not the important part. That's not what, oh yeah, God says I'm young. Eat that. Had nothing to do with that. This next part. But set an example for the believers in speech, in love, in life, in faith, and in purity. Those are the words. Ben, set the example. Don't worry about how old you are. Don't worry about what people say. Don't worry about what people think. Set the example. You see, and I think in our lives sometimes we allow other people to be a bigger influence on us than God or the Holy Spirit. Social media. The news. Anybody get jacked up about the recent election? God's still on the throne. God's still in control. There is no candidate that's bigger than my Savior, so I really don't care. Did I vote? Yes. Do I worry? No. Why? Because if they do something stupid, we're going to meet our Creator. Amen? Do we lose? Anyway, John chapter 12, verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead, Lazarus. He's given a dinner in Jesus' honor. Martha served. There she is being busy again. She's getting busy. She's doing her thing. Well, Lazarus among those reclining at the table, when Mary took out a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it at his feet, and she wiped her feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Again, there's people there at the dinner. There's the they group. There's Martha running around serving. She obviously learned a lesson because she didn't say, Jesus, tell her to help me. And then there's Mary. Where does she go? The master's feet. The position of worship. Her brother was raised from the dead. She's got one thing on her mind. Service. It's service. Flip back over to John chapter 11. I'm going to read the story of Lazarus because, again, this constant theme of the three groups is there. I'm going to start in verse 11, or chapter 11, start in verse 1. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and Martha. Mary's whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, the same one who poured perfume on the Lord. So this is a family thing. This is what we just read about in chapter 12. And she wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, he said, the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so the Son of Man may be glorified through it. This is for the they group. And you're going to see it again here in a little bit, why he does what he does. Jesus, in verse 5, Jesus loved who? Who does he list? Martha. It's the one that's distracted. It's the one that's busy. The one that we'd look at and go, what are you thinking? Mary's the good one. She sits at his feet. She's the one that wipes his feet. It says, he loved Martha. Why is that important? Because we try to discount ourselves from God's love. We try to say, I'm not good enough. I don't go to church enough. I don't give enough. I don't pray enough. Therefore, God doesn't love me. You need to praise God that he loves the way he loves and not the way we serve. And we've got to never forget that. So in verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister. He doesn't even mention Mary. Does that mean she's not important? No. It's a given. And Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there for a few more days. Now, it's probably good that they couldn't text back then. Think about that. Your brother's dying. He sent a text, Jesus, I need you at the hospital. Beep, beep. I'll be there in a few days. Are you kidding me right now? My brother is dying, and you can't see in a few days? That's a whole other conversation. We won't even get to that. Then he said to his disciples, here's the they group, let's go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back to there. Here's the influence of the group. Are you silly? Think about what you're saying. The logic is, why would you go back where they're trying to kill you? Why would you go back to an area when all these people love us? They're worshiping the ground. I mean, everything is cool. I mean, they love you. Dude, it's like a parade. Why would you go back to where they want to throw stones at you? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by the day will not stumble, for he sees the world's light. I read over that verse many times. When you walk by the light, you will see the world's light. So when you're in the group, when you're in the they, if you know Jesus Christ, if you're being guided by the Holy Spirit, you're going to be able to differentiate between the world's light and His light. That's important, isn't it? How many times? I'm going to ask it anyway. I'm sorry, you can't fire me, so I'm good. Have you ever been hurt by anybody in the church? Don't point fingers. Just shake your head. Honestly, think about that for a moment. Do you understand why the world hates the church? I do. Man, you come to church, you're supposed to love each other and be accepted. What do you get? A nice sized pint of judgment? Some backstabbing, some gossip, some slandering? I'm guilty sometimes too. I may not say it, but if I think it, the word says if you thought, you might as well have done it. So I understand how people get hurt by the church. But Jesus said that, are there not 12 hours in the day? The man that walks by the day or the light will not stumble, for he sees the world's light. It is when he walks by the night or the darkness or the vague group or the influence that is not of God, they'll stumble because he has no light. After this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he needs to sleep, he's going to get better. The they group is there, but they're not listening. The they group is engaged, but they're not engaged. You understand what I'm saying? They hear him say he's sleeping, but they think, oh, he's sick. Let's stay here a little bit longer. That's a few more days. And then 7:13, Jesus had been speaking about his death, but his disciples, or the they group, thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, if Jesus says something, probably ears perk up. And the vague group's going, then why did we sit here for 2 days? I thought you were a guy that brought life. I thought you were the person that did all these things to help people, and you knew he was dying, or now you know he's dead, and we didn't even go. I know they might kill you, but obviously you're not afraid of that. He said, for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there. Why? So that you may believe. Let us go to him. See, for the they group, because they're not engaged, because they're not involved, sometimes the only thing God can do is show them the truth. And sometimes we're in that they group. We're here, but we're not here. You ever got in your car and drove to work and not realize how you got there? Honestly, I mean, I get there and everybody's like, oh, yeah, yeah, but don't, we're not pointing fingers here. It's a place, right? Sometimes people go to church and they miss what God is doing. They miss how they can be serving. They miss the entire Jesus experience. So then it says, Thomas Didymus said to the rest of the disciples, let us go, that we may die with him. Who invited that dude? Let's go so we can die. I mean, anyone want to hang out with that guy? Hey, let's go down here and get killed. Sound good? Yeah, I'm in. Let's go. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days of Bethany. There was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Many Jews had come. Again, there's another they group. They found Mary and Martha to comfort them for the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him while Mary stayed at home. Again, busybodies are busybodies. They're going to go. They're going to do what they're going to do. They're going to run around with a chicken, their head cut off. And people that want to... I don't want to say that Mary was lazy. Mary knew that Jesus was coming, but she had enough faith in the fact that when he got here, good things were going to happen. So when Martha goes out, and we need to understand something about logic, okay? Logic, when it's not given to us or directed by the Holy Spirit, is the killer of faith. The gentleman that shared for communion this morning talked a lot about faith. Logic is the enemy of faith. You understand that? Because when we can logically say why we shouldn't do this or we shouldn't do that, odds are we're not going to serve. Odds are we're not going to make disciples. Odds are we're not going to do what the Holy Spirit is prompting us to do. Why? Because it doesn't make sense. Why would I do not? Why, I mean, this doesn't make sense to me, so I'm not going to do it. Martha obviously is not afraid. She goes to Jesus and said, if you would have been here, I know you just walked 2 miles. I know people have threatened your life, but if you would have been here, I'm paraphrasing this, obviously. my brother would still be alive. Huh. Have you ever been in the Martha group? God, I prayed about this. God, I ask you for help. God, I ask you to remove this cancer or fix my marriage or provide me money or do what I need you to do. And you did not show up. You did not do it the way that I wanted. Am I the only one that whines to God like that? God is not our genie. God is our Savior. And so many times we act like Martha, like, you owe me something. Why? Because I got things to do. I'm pretty sure it wasn't about her brother dying. She had a schedule to keep. I mean, honestly. She said, but even now, God, I know God will give you whatever you ask. Isn't it weird? She didn't even pose the question. So there's that hint of faith. After she kind of rips him, kind of crazy in itself, but after she ripped Jesus, she said, but if you ask, and I'm not going to tell you what to ask for, because obviously you're not going to do it my way, you'll give whatever God gives, whatever you ask. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, well, duh, I know. When he come back in the resurrection, he's going to rise again. He said, I am the resurrection. You see, sometimes busybodies, they miss the point. They miss the Jesus experience, just like the they group. Why? Because they've got a list. You ever met somebody, when you get them out of schedule, how miserable they can become? OCD people. You know anybody? I love them. I go to their house, I start messing with the stuff on the shelves, and as they're talking, they walk over and they fix it. I walk over and I mess it. They walk over and they fix it. Because they like the things the way they like them. Are we so different with God? Don't we like them the way we like them? Don't we want them the way we want them? Or is that just me? Hope I'm not alone in that room. Jesus said, I am the resurrection, the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, whoever lives believes will never die. Do you believe this? Now he's starting to ask questions. Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. After she had said this, she went back. Probably get things ready. I said my part, now I got to go back and get some things ready. Because you might come to my house because you already said that Jesus, you know, Jesus said he's not going to die, so he's evidently coming. After that, she went back and she called her sister Mary aside. The teacher's here, and he's asking for you. It's funny how the busybody's process changed. It went from, hey, I got to do this, to hey, I got to do that. Hey, you need to understand Jesus is here. Pay attention, like Mary needs to know that. As soon as she heard this, she got up quickly and she went to him. She entered the village, still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews were with her and saw Mary get up, confronting her, notice how quickly she got up. They went out and followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was, what did she do? She falls at his feet. She falls at his feet. And then she goes on and says, what? Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. She said the same thing. But notice the way that she said it. Martha comes up. What are you thinking? If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Mary comes up. She hits the floor at the feet where she knows she belongs. That when she's at the feet of the master, it doesn't matter what's going on around me, I am safe. She asks the same question. God, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. It's really even a question, it's a statement. And then when Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews that had come along, there's the they group. Everywhere you go, the they group's there, I promise. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. He said, where have you laid him? Come and see, Lord. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. Biggest verse in our lives. Why? Because God is engaged in your situation. You're not alone. Maybe your brother's not dying. But if it's something else that you feel like is the end of your life as you know it, Jesus weeps with you. Jesus is engaged with you. The question is, what group are we in? The they's, the Marthas, or the Marys? We know that he goes on, he's raised from the dead. So why would I want to talk about that when the elders had asked me to talk about servant and service and discipleship? Because even at this church, those three groups are prevalent. You've got the they group. You're going to have the people that kind of come and go, see what's going on. If they don't like it, there's no roots. There's no. I don't feel bad because I just go there. I don't attend there. I don't worship there. I don't serve there. There's no connection. You've got, and there is no one here that's in trouble. So please don't take that as they bring me in to swing the hammer. That's not it. This is in every church in America. It's in your job. How many people just show up and collect a paycheck? They're the they group. How many people run around and do this and do that and tell everybody what to do? It's the Martha group. And then there's the people that do the job because that's what they're supposed to do, and they do it as if they're doing it for God. That's the Mary group. So this universal theme is not just a church thing. It's a world thing. It's an us thing. You know, you got the people in church that run around and do this and do that, and they miss the whole experience. They're busy and distracted with many things, but they miss the only thing that matters, and that is serving our Lord and Savior. Does that mean we shouldn't do anything? No. It just means choose wisely. Put your time and energy what matters. Because if you're about programs and services and this and that, then you're going to get programs and services and this and that. If you're about making disciples, you're going to get disciples. Isn't that what we're about? You know, I thought a lot about coming back here today. Tammy asked me probably 6 times, are you nervous? Yes, she loves it when I call her out still when I preach. So I'm not. Got a peace. Kids are like, this is weird. I don't even feel like we're going to church. I know, it's okay. But do you guys understand that even when I served here, the mission was still to save the lost? And even though I'm not here full time and I'm just here guest speaking, the mission still is to save the lost.
That's right.
Nothing's changed. Amen. Nothing has changed. The world hasn't. Our Savior hasn't. But have we? What group are we in? When I hear servant or disciple, do I even put myself in that category, that conversation? Is that something I want to be associated with? There used to be a song, Jesus Freak. Some people get off on hearing that they're Jesus freaks. They take it to a level that people are like, that is why I hate church. And there's some people here that were Jesus freak and they go, "That I don't want anything to do with that. I want to kind of be in the middle." You ever had coffee that's either hot or cold or in the middle? What's that? Oh yeah, lukewarm. You ever heard that before? I'm not saying be an extremist. I'm saying pick a side. I'm saying figure out how you want to be. How can you, as a Christian, saved by the grace of God, further the kingdom right here? What can you do, irregardless of talent level, income level, what you think you can or can't do? Because if you only do what you can do, do you really need God? Why? Because we live in a world that, how many people here know people that don't know Jesus Christ? Is that on a priority list for us to share that with them? Is that important for us to say, you know what? When I have bad days, I turn to 1 Timothy 4:12. Well, why would you turn there, Ben? Because you're young? No, because I need to be an example in life, in love, in purity, in faith, and all the things that sometimes I absolutely stink at. Some of you, if you didn't know me, you went to Lexington Game Friday, you'd think I wasn't a Christian at all. Did I swear and cuss? No. Did I get after the refs? Yeah. Why? Because I'm protecting my kids. That's called a justification or an excuse. I have to ask myself, Ben, are you being an example to those young men in that locker room? Three groups. The theys. You know, they always, it's exclusive. They want to be involved because there's bennies to it, or there's some fame, or there's something that goes associated with being in the group. They're not really engaged because that costs them too much. There's the Marthas. They're busy. Man, they're getting stuff done. Check it off, check it off. But all the many things that they're getting done, they're missing what's the most important. That's Jesus Christ. And then there's the Marys that understand that their life needs to be a position of worship. Even though we go through the same things everybody else go through, do we fall at His feet and we praise His name? I don't know. I can only answer for me. Someday God's going to say, Ben, you talked about three groups. What group are you in? Good news is you don't have to deal with that. I do. So this morning, as we kind of wrap up here, and I really want to challenge you. This week, pray for God to send you someone who doesn't know Him. Pray for someone that you can serve. I mean, I heard the gentleman talk about Kroger. Is it bigger, me giving a message or him buying that third can of soup? Honestly, which is bigger? Which is more important to God? I'd say the soup. Why? Well, because this is just talking. He's doing something. Talking may be important. I mean, we got to share the gospel somehow. I think we need to look at our lives and see, how can I be a better servant? How can I be a better disciple? But prior to that, you got to figure out what group you're in. You know, the funny part is, all the people in those groups chose to be there. There'll be excuses. Well, I don't know nothing. I'm in the they group. Or there's the people that say, well, if I don't do it, nobody else is going to. And there's going to be the people that get viewed as, oh, all you ever do is sit at Jesus' feet and wait for him to move. What's wrong with that? Tell me what, seriously. Shoot that in the hole. Shoot holes in that somehow. Don't be lazy. Be faithful. Because I'm pretty sure if Jesus said, Mary, do this, she's on it. Count the cost. You ever count the cost of being a disciple? I'm not talking about having to come listen to me or grovel through this or do through that. I'm talking about truly saying, is it important to me? Is this who I want to become? Just like you choose the group, only you can answer that question. So I'm going to pray. I don't know if you'll do an invitation or whatever you all want to do here, and I'm going to get done. Pray for service this week. Pray for the opportunity to share your faith. Do you understand God made you the way you are? You don't have to be a polished speaker or a phenomenal Bible scholar to share Jesus Christ with somebody. Meet them where they're at. Why? Because that's what he did. That's what he did. Let's go ahead and pray. God, I thank you this morning for the ability to come home and talk about you. Lord, so many times, the only time we talk and think about you are 9 to 11 on Sunday mornings. And Lord, you've called us to be more than that. You've called us to live out our faith, be an example, set it in love, set it in life, set it in faith, set it in purity. And Lord, while that's my verse, it may not be someone's here, but Lord, I pray you give them all a verse, whatever that is. That Lord, we understand the difference between the types of light that are in this world, ours, the world's, and yours. Lord, help us to be better servants. Help us to find ways to get involved. Help us to do what we can do. Lord, there's nothing better than watching your kids come home. There's nothing better than seeing someone accept you for the first time. And Lord, it's such a blessing to know that you choose us. There is no plan B. That we need to be faithful with where we're at and what we know and what we can do. And Lord, just give you the glory. Lord, I pray that everything here is bringing you glory, that you bless this place, that you would provide them a shepherd, that you would be with the elders, that you would be with all those that are here. But Lord, prior to that, it starts with us. Let's all be committed. Let us live our faith out the way that we need to live, not what someone else thinks or someone else wants, but Lord, what you're calling us to be and do. Lord, help us not to be the theys or the Marthas. Help us to be Mary. Let us just come to your feet. Let us be in that position of worship. Thank you, Lord, for loving us the way that you love and not the way that we serve or think or pray or whatever it is that we do. But Lord, let us remember you love us the same. If there's anyone here that needs to come to you this morning, Lord, I pray you give them the strength to stand up and come. It's not embarrassing. It's relieving. It's liberating. It's freedom. Lord, I thank you for this church and light that it puts out. I thank you for those that are here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I think that invitation is out there. The invitation is out there. The elders come forward this morning. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to know him. He's the most important decision you will ever make. If you need prayer for something, if there's something in your life right now that you need prayer for, that's what these men are here for. They're not closer to God than you are. But when two or three are in together, then God is in the midst. And that's where we're at. God is in our midst. And we're going to bring you up before the Lord. That's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a little bit here this morning. Praise him some more.